Blog Talk Radio.
Me and my friends, we had our own cute families. Started when they were babies, when all they did was scream. But now they're much too old, and now it's time to fly the coop. Me and all my friends, we gotta take a great big breath and look in the mirror and tell ourselves our children have finally broke out of their shell. In the end, it can really be the best. In the end, we can finally get some rest. In the end, we can maybe have some sex. In the end, could really be the best.
Everyone, it is Wednesday, July 8th, 2015, and thank you for listening to the Empty Nesters radio show. We're going to change the format a little bit this morning because our guest, we believe, is already on hold. So we're going to bring our guest on. Claudia, do you want to do the introductions as we bring her up?
Absolutely. Today we are very happy to be joined by Julia Cunningham, host of News and Notes on Sirius XM Radio, EW Radio. Julia is a maven for all things entertainment. Her show is on, actually not exactly sure what time during the day because so many things are sort of podcast and repeated East Coast and West Coast, but Julia's on her way to Comic-Con in San Diego, and we're thrilled to be able to talk to her. Is that you, Julia?
Good morning, Julia.
Hi. Jill.
How are you?
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, thank you. I'm pulled over at a 7-Eleven right now. It's true. I'm en route to Comic-Con as we speak.
Only the finest of locations.
Exactly. I chose classy. You're right.
Yeah, from the Sirius XM studios to 7-Eleven off the 405 in between Los Angeles and San Diego. So you and your co-host Mario Correa host News and Notes on EW Radio on Sirius XM. And you guys talk about everything.
Yeah, this is actually a good mixture of me being at a 7-Eleven, because we like to say we're very highbrow and lowbrow. We don't like to, just gloss over anything. We have no guilty pleasures.
Which I have to tell you, Jill and I are, it's the same thing. We're talking the stock market one minute, and then we're talking Pretty Little Liars the next minute. It goes everywhere, which is just, the great thing that we have. Just there's so much opportunity out there to, like you said, guilty pleasures, serious stuff. And summer is just definitely that time for that guilty pleasure stuff.
Yeah.
You're on your way to Comic-Con.
Yes.
What are you most excited about seeing or doing at Comic-Con?
Well, what's interesting about Comic-Con this year and in the past, because I'm not necessarily a huge superhero person, although I've been sort of getting pulled into that world, is that Marvel is not going to be here at Comic-Con this year. They're going to launch their own Comic-Con of sorts. I think it's going to be called, Marvel-Con or whatever. And so that has really opened up space for a lot more television to come through this year, which I'm just a huge TV fan. Obviously, we're in this new golden age of television, and it's letting a lot of these shows breathe and have more people going to some of the panels and learning more about all these different shows. Because a lot of people will wait hours and hours and hours and sleep outside venues to get inside to have these panels for a lot of these superhero movies, and that's, where the ground Comic-Con began, but now it's almost turning into a new chapter. So I think it's just going to be really exciting to see what people are buzzed about and what people are going to go and see just in general.
Is this your first visit?
This is my third. We've been doing Entertainment Weekly Radio out of Comic-Con for the last 2 years with the actual Entertainment Weekly magazine. They set up this really nice spot, kind of a haven for people to just hang out and get away from the crowds a little bit. And EW.com is there. Entertainment Weekly is there just posting all day and writing all day. You're going to see live coverage up on EW.com. And also we'll be doing live broadcasting starting tomorrow right at noon Eastern. Noon Pacific, I should say. Pretty much it's going straight on. I'm time zoned out because of my weird time zone.
you know, it makes sense to see with Marvel, because I remember the origins of Comic-Con so much with the, let's say, the superhero, the things that there's obviously a huge, you know, segment that loves that, but there's so many people that are interested in movies and television, the superhero part. I mean, I personally, you know, I don't care about that,
right,
but I love the other stuff. So very, very cool. One day, Jill, we got to get down there, because I would just love to see some of those panels and some of these things. So
yeah,
I was just saying to Jill,
you guys should totally come. You know,
yeah,
the other thing is that there's artists there, you know, from the actual comic books, and it's just beyond movies. You know, it's like a whole lifestyle that's represented there. You should just come and just hang out.
It sounds, yes, it sounds like so much fun. I was just saying to Jill, I need something to watch this summer. You know, I sort of,
ooh,
last summer was my Breaking Bad, finished that up. Okay, wait.
Yeah.
You know, that wrecked me, and nothing else is ever going to compare. But I
know it's tough. You know, Breaking Bad feels like it, you know, left a huge void in television. Although there's some pretty excellent shows. I don't know what you guys are watching right now, but I'm about, I would say, a little bit more than halfway done with Bloodline, which is currently up on Netflix, and it's pretty excellent. I had to, like, actually physically get off my couch, otherwise I would have just ripped through all 13. And now I'm kind of trying to savor the last few episodes. I'm not sure if you guys watched it, but it's a highly recommended from me.
That's the Kyle Chandler, the family.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The cast is phenomenal. It's, you know, Sissy Spacek, and, oh, my gosh, it's like, kind of everybody. Linda Cardellini's in it. It's really excellent.
Oh, I love her from ER.
Yeah. Oh, man, Freaks and Geeks. She was on Mad Men. She's, like, really having a great, great moment right now.
Yeah, so that's Amazon. I know we just started Bosch on Amazon, so if it's based on the Michael Connelly books, and so far I'm liking it. Cause,
are you? I have that on my list of two check out, so it's worth getting into.
Yeah, I do think so, because it's an interesting character. You know, yes, I do like it. And finding the things, like, for my, so, you know, husband and I both agree on, that's not always so easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like which things, and, you know, I find his Ballers were, you know, a couple episodes in, did start that. Dwayne Johnson's got just a great, there's something so likable about him, even though.
Yes, I agree. He's so charismatic. I actually just randomly follow him on Instagram, and I've struggled with the push of me getting into Ballers, but I'm realizing now that it's just something I have to do.
Huh. You know what? We're fascinated by what you do and what you get to do. As a, you actually get paid to do this. How did you come to EW Radio?
What was that? Sorry.
How did you get to EW Radio? How did you get to News and Notes?
Actual hosting of News Notes. Well, I, similar to probably you guys, grew up always just wanting to find a job that involved pop culture, at least just make an excuse as to why I just read magazines and watched MTV all day. And I, you know, immediately, once growing up in Indiana and my sister escaped and headed to New York City, she said, you've got to come out here. So I got an internship with Sirius, and I went and I spent the summer, and I thought, oh, my God, I just get to listen to music all day. Like, this is amazing. I have to do this as a career. So as soon as I graduated and I went to school in Indiana, I went straight to New York City and started working for them part-time, like overnight shifts, just as a coordinator in the music department. That just means scanning CDs, entry-level spreadsheets, that kind of stuff. And I just worked my way through, and I eventually started hosting music for Sirius, and I loved it. And I made my way through, and I was doing managerial work, and I just realized this is not for me. And I had always just kept up with pop culture, and as I was sort of getting really restless with my position, they announced that Entertainment Weekly was going to be a channel. I just thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So just like anybody else, I applied, you know, through HR, through the company website, and demoed for months. I worked for months trying to get this gig, and eventually they hired me. And the first iteration of News and Notes involved this other woman, Faith Saley, who is phenomenal and had been a host on NPR and all sorts of other things. And she really taught me how to host a long-form show, and so I'm very grateful to her for that. And when she left, she had a second child. She's writing a memoir. I moved up to lead Mike, and I've been doing it ever since. So we've been on the air for just a little over 2 years now.
Yes, we actually, both Claudia and I, listened to it in the car. I have to ask you a question, though. Sirius,
sure,
XM headquarters, is it still at Fifth Avenue and like 45th Street or something? Or did
just
they move?
Right about, we're on 6th Avenue, right diagonal from Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, okay, great. Did they used to be on 5th Avenue?
Not that I know of. In all of my time, it's always been on Sixth Avenue, and we have a big office in Washington, D.C. as well. Now I'm in the Los Angeles office in, like, a satellite office.
Oh, so you're out in the West Coast, but you gotta think of the East Coast time as well. That gets very confusing.
Yes. It is. I that's why we always joke about it, but I honestly never know what time it is or what day it is. I can't keep track. People think I'm joking, I'm being dead serious. I cannot keep track.
It's
we believe
same.
You.
You know, podcasts, DVR. I mean, you know, if somebody said, what's on TV tonight? I have no idea what's on a Wednesday night. You know, whereas wasn't that long ago where Wednesday night was such and such, or, you know, must-see TV Thursday. You knew what was on. Now, no concept because it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's so difficult. I have to give a shout-out to our producer, Andrea Puckett, because she honestly, like, keeps me on task and on schedule and will, like, randomly text me, like, don't forget to watch this. It's Thursday. I'm like, oh, my God, you're right, because she knows I'm terrible.
No, it just nothing makes. And you know, on one hand, it's absolutely wonderful that we can do this and watch things as you know, whether it's the binge watching, whether it's you know just on our own schedules. But boy, it does make us a little nuts over you know time zones and areas.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you most as you head towards San Diego and Comic-Con? What are you most excited to see? I mean, the cover of the newest Entertainment Weekly has a Comic-Con preview with Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, and Henry Cavill. Oh, my God, delicious on the front cover.
I know. They're very, very handsome men and a beautiful lady. I am curious more about that movie after reading that great cover story from Keith Staskowitz. He spent time on the set, and it's sort of shrouded in mystery. You know, they wouldn't really let him reveal. You know, they basically, he said it was like going to, you know, North Korea or something where it's like they really only let you see what they want you to see. So he thinks that there's a lot more coming and a lot more twists and mystery. So I don't know what they'll unveil during Comic-Con, but that'll be interesting. Another big buzz about one is Star Wars, of course. They're going to show an extended clip during their panel at Hall H, which will be rather fascinating. And, you know, some of the smaller TV shows, we are big supporters of Orphan Black, and I'm curious now, I've just started binging Hannibal. They're going to have a big panel for Hannibal. We'll find out what the status is, where it might go. There's a lot of shows that are returning that I'm excited about, like The Strain, that they're going to do a big panel. So some of my smaller, loved TV shows I'm always curious to find out about.
That's exciting. Ben Affleck, I wonder whether they'll be part of the whole media circus after, you know, unfortunately, his and Jennifer Garner's breakup. So whether that'll
right. I'm sure because, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Chris Hardwick, who is from Nerdist, is going to be doing that panel. I'm sure they've already said nothing personal. It is all, you know, I'm sure those questions are going to be screened prior to the Q&A.
Would certainly think so. Yeah, it's so, you know, Jill and I both, we just saw Love and Mercy, the Brian Wilson movie, which I thought was very, very good. So,
was it? I have that on my list because I was torn with John Cusack playing the older Brian Wilson. How was he?
He actually was terrific. He wasn't John. Really wasn't John Cusack. And you have to understand the thing. You live in L.A. now. You know, Brian Wilson goes to a deli that we go to all the time. You know, so we've seen him through the years. And you know, my one thing about Brian Wilson that's always struck me, he never looks happy. Now maybe he is, but his eyes are so sad, and John Cusack's eyes are so sad in this film.
Yeah.
Wow. Definitely worth seeing. And and Paul Dano, who has never been one of my favorites, he does an incredible job of a young Brian Wilson. I thought, Claudia?
I absolutely agree. And facially, while they don't look anything alike, they do. There's something, he really captures that, and you see that pain, and whether it's the, you know, the illness, the drugs, you know, what is it that's doing it? You really, it's so much captured in his, but that's like the only movie I think I've seen. You know, all these things that we're anticipating for fall, and it's all so exciting. I don't know. It's been one of those summers.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, have you guys seen Inside Out?
Oh, I want to.
You guys got to go see Inside Out. It's so good.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, that's like the big one for me that's been out that's really remarkable and is doing well at the box office and it's well-deserved. You know, it's excellent. But all right, I'll put Love and Mercy down on my list.
And I anticipating Amy Schumer, the trailers I saw for Trainwreck, I'm hysterical watching. So hopefully it's going to be funny.
Oh, I know. You know, I just feel like right now Amy Schumer can do no wrong.
Right.
The first trailer I saw, I was like, okay, this looks good. But every trailer they release looks funnier and funnier. And I hope it does well at the box office.
Yeah, she absolutely is the, you know, the it girl. But she's, you know.
Totally.
It's definitely. But although we we saw Spy on those lines, so that was another, you know, just sometimes
yeah.
you just want to laugh.
Oh, totally. And if you're going to, like, laugh at anything, you want to support Melissa McCarthy and Paul Feig, which have you been seeing any of the snapshots of the Ghostbusters movie that's being filmed right now?
Yes.
I'm, like, super stoked on that.
Yeah. But yes, definitely should is that, that's not for a while, right? Or,
no, that probably, I think it's next summer.
Exciting.
Yeah, they're just starting filming now.
Were you at the Gilmore Girls reunion and at ATX Festival?
Unfortunately, I was not there. Jessica Shaw from EW Morning Live was there with Danielle Nussbaum, who is the West Coast editor for EW. And I believe Henry Goldblatt was there as well. He's the editor of Entertainment Weekly. And so Jessica Shaw actually, you know, hosted that panel. So I was listening, like many other people driving around L.A.
It was
I was a huge Gilmore Girls fan.
Oh, it was a great panel. I know I turned it on and I couldn't get out of my car at that point because I watched that show with my daughter and I called her. I said, you've got to, you know, be sure to go back and get this. Maybe it's on the podcast. You've got to listen to it. And then a few days later I was on an airplane and it was on the plane on DirecTV. So I was watching a couple episodes and so good.
Well, I love that they said they could potentially do, like, some other new season, like, they wanted a different ending, kind of.
Ah, big tease. That's actually what's so great for us now, to be able to see shows that were on years ago that maybe we missed. It's incredible, the whole TV thing, you know, with between Netflix and YouTube and all the different venues for us to see things now. But that certainly changes the nature of your job. There is so much more to watch.
I know. I have this long list of, you know, I call my, you know, blind spots in pop culture that people were really into, and I'm trying to sort of make my way through many of them just over time. You know, not necessarily a full force binge, but just, you know, if I have a couple hours and I'm just doing laundry, all right, what's on my list? What show do I just need to get into and watch an episode here or there just to get an understanding?
Weren't you working your way through the AFI, was it the top 100 films?
Yes, I went through all of Entertainment Weekly's top 100 movies from the issue actually came out 2 summers ago. We just finished it like 2 weeks ago. it took about a year and a half to get through the list. We had Chris Nakawadi, who's the movie critic, join us for the top 10, and he helped us sort of navigate our way, and he's going to provide us more movies, because I actually really enjoyed it, having something to do every Tuesday night. I would either have some friends over or solo, I would watch the movie, and I kind of enjoyed that ritual, so we're going to keep it going.
I mean, there's so many, you know, we all have those blind spots and so many things for whatever, just never got around to seeing that, or whatever, you know, it is, and to see how things, you know, how they hold up, some of the older ones, and some I always think that would be, I like the project that you set out to do.
Yeah, guys, do it. Recommend it. I say 100%. I mean, it's definitely a lofty thing, but even if you just took like the top 20 movies or something, you'll be surprised how many on there that you might not have seen.
Yeah, you think you see everything, and no, you know, there's just so many things. Same with TV shows, and sometimes it's, you know, just your age that you kind of miss on something. I was too old, I was too young, whatever, and yet, you know, like Gilmore Girls, there's a lot of people have rediscovered it, just didn't have a chance.
Sure. Netflix is magical.
It's incredible, and Lauren Graham doesn't age. She looks incredible.
Totally. Yeah, Parenthood is actually one of the top shows that I'm going to start watching next.
Oh,
that's
my God, you have to watch it.
My chill binge. Yeah, totally.
I want him to be my dad. I want him to, you know, I want Peter Krause to be my husband. I want him to be the father of my children. I want my dad
totally.
To be, you know, great. You know, it's so, just loved that show.
So we
I'll report back when I get into it, ladies.
Sounds great. But it sounds like we're a couple weeks into the summer. What to you, given what you've been doing, what do you think the biggest story of the summer either is or is going to be?
Wow. I think this year is going to be marked, most likely we'll still be talking about the runaway hit that is Jurassic World. I mean, Chris Pratt has really just shot himself into an A-list actor this summer. And
yes,
it is phenomenal after the way people have been talking about the box office and, like, what a slug it was and how the movie industry is really having a hard time. And, you know, can we have even an original movie come out and do well? Thank goodness Pixar comes and wows us at the box office as well. And it's a tight race between those two movies, and it just shows, you know, when you put something together with some good quality and some special effects, you have a leading man like Chris Pratt who's just adored across the board, a movie can be successful. And same with Pixar. It's like an original movie. It's so out of the box. It's done so well, and it's so thoughtful. And even though it came in second, you know, for its opening weekend, it still shattered records as an animated movie, making almost $100 million in its first week. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if we saw Inside Out nominated as a Best Picture by the end of the year. I mean, that's how well-regarded this film is. And it's just been, I think the box office in terms of that is going to be a big news story for the rest of the year, honestly.
Why do you think Chris Pratt, what is it about him that has just, you know, made his career go from, you know, hey, he was a successful actor, but now he's, you know, in a different strata? What is it?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, when you're sort of marked an it person, you have to be really smart about the scripts you pick. Like, look at Armie Hammer, for example. He was marked as the guy after The Social Network. People were like, this is going to be the next big guy. And he honestly just didn't pick that well in terms of scripts. He picked some duds. He didn't do well at the box office with things like Lone Ranger. And there's always someone right behind you that people are saying, this could be the next guy. This could be the next guy. And Chris Pratt's been really smart. He focuses on really good scripts. He works with really good directors. He's genuinely a really nice man. He is so thoughtful and kind. He's not shy to the press. He's totally willing to go through and do the rounds. And you know what? He's a great actor. And he's picked, like, quirky things, which also allows him to have, like, a real true fan base. Like, something like a Parks and Rec was really smart. And, of course, that was, like, when he started out. But because it was also a show that sort of struggled and they never knew, is it going to come back? Is it going to be a mid-season replacement? It actually allowed his schedule to allow him to do big movies. So, you know, Jurassic World came when he was still filming towards the end of Parks and Rec. He was doing Guardians of the Galaxy at, like, season 5 of Parks and Rec. So he was able to do that, and he was working with people like Amy Poehler, who's a much bigger star, who could say, hey, this guy's really excellent. Like, even with him working with Colin Trevorrow, who was the director of Jurassic World, he even says, he's like, I think it helped that I knew Aubrey Plaza because she had been in his first movie called Safety Not Guaranteed. And that's when he took note of Chris and was like, I think Chris Pratt could do Jurassic World. You know, I think he's just smart that way.
Very interesting how, you know, how that all works. And like I say, not without some consideration. And as you say, a nice guy who's accessible to the press makes, you know, makes
a
difference.
Yeah, totally.
And it doesn't hurt that he went from,
you know, he's,
doesn't hurt that he went from schlubby to very hot.
Totally.
You know, even the Super Bowl, you think when he and Chris Evans had their, you know, their side bets, you know, whoever won was going to do things with the children's hospitals, and those, you know, those kind of things, you know, they work. We see them on Twitter. We see them, and I'm not, you know, of course, it's got to be genuine, because then it doesn't work. If it's not, we can see right through that. But it, you know, it just brings another level and a different set of fans. So sure.
I love how you brought up, you know, the whole it guy and it doesn't happen. You probably don't remember when Matthew McConaughey years ago was the it guy and he was going to be it. And then, you know, not so much. And then something happened. I don't know.
Right. Same. You know what? He was smart, though, with his career and took some time off, right, and stopped kind of just doing romantic comedies after he did, you know, what was it, like How to Lose a Guy with 10 Days. It was like, oh, my God, he's going to be the next big romantic comedy lead after doing some really great stuff early in his career. And then it kind of dropped out a little bit. And then he started again, like, thinking, all right, I got to pick really smart, good scripts that are going to show that I'm a good actor. Like, I think people thought he was phenomenal in A Time to Kill or something.
Right.
I think the same with, I think that's what Vince Vaughn is trying to do. Like, we just associate him with these kind of crappy comedies. And it's like, no, when he started his career, he was doing Swingers and Clay Pigeons and these like really great dramatic movies. And somewhere along the way, he just got swept up into these comedies. And I think it's smart that he's doing True Detective right now.
Right. I guess the worst thing you want is someone like me to say, I'm not seeing a Vince Vaughn movie because I know what I'm
going
to expect. So when all of a sudden it changes and you say, wait a second, you know, I look at this. This is so different. And this is, you know, I enjoyed. There was just somebody, same thing where all of a sudden you say, okay, this is who I want to see. Bradley Cooper, you know, same, you know, from Hangover,
right.
You know, enough of that to then moving into the things he's doing now and the High Regard.
Yeah. And in some ways, something like The Hangover probably helped him because it really launched him as a big, well-known named actor. You know, like it put his name out there and it also gave him status to be choosy and picky about
right.
his role, which
right.
is great.
Yeah, you got to do all of that.
And it's great to see. But Bradley Cooper actually, well, he starred on Alias. Let's not forget that. He was Jennifer Garner's love interest for a while. So
I was going to say, yeah, someone told me that, and I was like, oh, that's one show I had not watched is Alias.
Oh, I love that show.
That's
Claudia
on my list of must catch up.
We watch a lot of stuff, too.
I love it.
Anyway,
there's so many ways, to, as we talked about all of this, the you know the Netflixes and all the different ways you can get things, plus all the different devices that you can you know can be watching. You know you don't have to be necessarily sitting in front of a television, either in the stationary. So there's lots of ways. Which well, there's lots of stuff to watch. You know where they are.
Well, Julia, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day and out of your trip, and we hope you miss the traffic to get down to San Diego. And
so
we'd love to talk
okay.
to you. We'd love to talk to you after Comic-Con to see, you know,
sure,
to hear
sure.
about everything.
I would love to call back in. You guys have been great. Claudia and Jill, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great time. Talk to you soon, Julia.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Julia Cunningham, Sirius XM Radio Entertainment Weekly, joining us on her way to Comic-Con, talking about, you know, entertainment, something that we certainly do spend a lot of time. And we've talked about how when it was a show with your kids, like I mentioned, Gilmore Girls, I know, I think you watched Breaking Bad with your son, amongst so many other things.
No, I've watched so much stuff with Andrew that I probably would not have watched.
Yep.
It
becomes something, you know, when you can do it together. You've got that time where you're sitting together focused on something. You're talking about the characters. My son talks to me about Game of Thrones like I know it. Like I don't watch it, and I guess that should be one on my list. But when you can have these conversations, you know, it's wonderful. And the same with, you know, with the now in empty nest phase, and it's, you know, it's just, you know, just you with the husband of what it is that you're going to watch and finding things that we both want to see. You know, it's not always that easy to do. So it's a pleasure when we do find a series that we both like, and it gives us that time, again, that shared interest. So that it is important. So all good. But and we were talking earlier about some, you know, pop culture, I don't know about, well, I guess icons in the news, and not for anything good. Our old friend Bill Cosby, you know, what a just an awful man.
Are we talking about
Bill Cosby? I mean, I would say he's been exposed to be, but that's no pun intended. But more. Gloria Allred digging up. I mean, that's some good lawyering, digging up those old depositions of him.
Well, I guess it was the Associated Press who was she the attorney for them?
Somehow she was associated. I know. I believe she was associated.
She with the case.
The case.
But,
I guess she was involved.
It was the Associated Press who basically said, you know what? You're being such a moralist, and we want to know. And then the judge basically said that because you are a moralist and you've tried to, you know, you've scolded people about their morality, I'm releasing this deposition.
He's talking about giving women quaaludes with the idea that he was then going to have sex with them. Nice. very nice. And, you know, just really backing up on some of the stories, you know, Janice Dickinson, some of the stories of the women who have come out saying that that's exactly was his M.O., the drugging them and raping them. Nice guy. Nice family
well,
guy.
Well, yeah, I think this is the proverbial nail on the coffin or the smoking gun or whatever, where, you know, he admits to that kind of, you know, disgusting behavior. And it's interesting how, you know, two sides of that. That the depositions were released where he admitted, you know, giving quaaludes, and but then saying to the woman he'd pay her to go to school if she got a 3.0 average. I mean, really? And then Jill Scott, the singer who had supported him up to now, came out and said, you know what, I can't support this guy anymore. This is disgusting. And yesterday on yesterday's The View, I happened to be watching, and Whoopi Goldberg was not exactly defending him, but was saying she wasn't going to condemn him because he had not been convicted of everything, of anything. You know, this is pretty bad when it comes out that you have admitted to the type of behavior that the women, what, 40 women have accused you of?
Right, the very thing, the very thing. It's not just some, you know, other, you know, savory behavior, but the very thing that he's been accused of doing. And here in this, how long ago was the deposition? About 10 years, maybe? That very
something
thing.
Like that.
Yeah, so that's certainly not good. Then Jared from Subway, he was the spokesperson a number of years ago who lost a tremendous amount of weight by eating Subway sandwiches. I guess he was just really moderating his calories and was the face and the spokesman of Subway. And now he's been found, has not been charged yet, but found to have child pornography. Great.
Well, on that one, I'm not sure. I guess the person he was associated with who ran his foundation had child pornography. Is accused of some really pretty, not just child porn, pretty nasty stuff. But I guess they have seized poor Jared's, or I don't want to say poor Jared, or Jared's computers. So now he's under a cloud, and Subway has suspended its relationship with him. We really don't know yet what the facts are. But, you know, you say where there's smoke, there's fire, but we don't really know yet. But nevertheless, it's...
You know, this
it's pretty sad. Not that he was a moral icon, but still, you know, he was someone that we, you know, related to. Those of us who struggle with our weight all the time, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that case. And then an additional, you know, I guess icon, Tom Selleck. Those of you who listen to the show or even read the news know that here in Los Angeles, we're in the midst of a horrific drought. Tom Selleck and his wife, Jillie, live a little north of L.A. They have a ranch, and they have been accused by a water district adjacent to their property, or near their property, but not where their property is, of basically hiring a water truck, taking water from a public hydrant from another water district and bringing it back to their property, and they're now being sued by the water district. At a terrific cost to the water district because they had to hire an investigator, and apparently he has been asked to stop. They didn't stop, and it's happened, a minimum of 12 times. So,
Yikes. That's, you know, you don't want to think of the, you know, the rich getting away with things that other people can't. You don't want to think about, you know, just doing the wrong thing. If everybody is you know, living by certain rules, then it's not okay when somebody isn't. You know, and this whole, you know, whether it's drought shaming, whether it's you know, neighbor against neighbor, but you want to see. I know if I'm driving and I see, you know, what's the, is that the Audi? Because we do have certain days we can water our lawns. We can use sprinklers, depending on your address, odd and even. You know, if I see somebody and I think, oh, wait a second, are they odd? Are they even? Are they doing it on the wrong day? Not necessarily that they're using more water, but they got to live by their days. I got to live by my days. You know, makes you a little crazy. And while Paula Deen is certainly no Tom Selleck, you know, do people have brains in their heads? you know, it's like Dr. Seuss, you know, the brain in your head. But sometimes, I mean, here she lost so much, her show, much of her, I don't know, fan base, but her endorsements, her things, with some quite unsavory language a few years ago, of, you know, derogatory, racist. So now, was it a sketch, or what was the deal where she had her son, her grown man son, dressed in blackface?
I guess it was a Halloween show where they, you know, dressed up in costume, and her costume was Lucille Ball, in which she did look like Lucille Ball, and then there was a man who kind of pretended to be Ricky Ricardo, and then there was another man who happens to be her son in kind of brown face. And, you know, and the tweet was, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. And it was like, seriously? You at this point in time, after your issues, this is what you're going to post on social media? And the fallout has been, well, you know, it was my social media coordinator, and that person's been fired. But then someone on TV today said, yeah, but that picture existed. And why did that picture exist? It was offensive.
Right, that was your costume. That was what you, it wasn't that it was out, you know what, so I got caught? I mean, they were, of, you know, I think in 2015, brown face, black face, it's not okay. You know, it's not okay. But for someone who lost so much because of it, really, that was the costume you came up with? I mean, there weren't, you know, she couldn't have been, you know, Mickey Mouse or something? There weren't other things? This is... You know, and somebody not saying, maybe we need to, you know, be a kitty cat or something. We don't, you know, this is just not okay. I, you know, yes, are we extremely politically correct? Is everybody easily offended? You know, yeah, sometimes that line is blurred, but given her past troubles, I don't get it. I don't understand why, yeah. Sometimes people are just not, well, it's not that they're not so smart, even that's who they are.
Well, the fallout seems to be that those people who found, who support Paula Deen are going to support Paula Deen. Those people who are on the fence who are probably going to go over on the other side. So she's still going to have her fans, but those who are kind of maybe, you know, maybes, we're probably not going to be anymore.
I'm an amateur cook. That's even too much.
You're
I enjoy.
A good cook.
I'm a good cook. I enjoy cooking. I tell you, Paula Deen. Not once. I don't have a book. Never. Take that back. I use one recipe. It's the amount of butter that she uses in her recipes. I can't even imagine. You know, maybe not so much now. I mean, I have nothing to do with her. Not even because of this. It's just I look at a recipe. Just so much. I made a bread pudding once, which was ridiculous how much butter it was ridiculously good. But that being said, even some cookbooks I have that are, you know, probably more from the early 80s that use just, again, way too much butter in them for sort of our sensibilities of, you know, how I would eat now, so much lighter. So I can't even imagine the following. Well, yes, I can, because I've been to Disneyland. You go places, and yeah, people do use a lot more butter than they probably need. I mean, her stuff has just got to be so unhealthy. So never, even as a, you know, an interested chef, no, can't even imagine her stuff. So she's sort of definitely not in my world. But,
well, we focused on the, I guess, the negative souls within us. And I guess the negative messes. But let's switch to some positive stuff. This past weekend was a big weekend for our country. For us, it was the July 4th weekend. But before we get to July 4th festivities and, you know, what did we say, fireworks, football, and let's talk about FIFA. Did you watch the women's soccer final?
How exciting. You know, one for our, I want to say our girls, our women, to make it to the finals again, to the finals in the World Cup, and so convincingly through every game. They hadn't allowed a goal scored against them.
Okay, our goalie, Hope Solo, allowed 3 goals in, what, 7 games?
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I mean, the last two coming in the second part of the last game through all of these all these games, absolutely incredible. And we were up, boom, within the first 15 minutes, three goals. I mean, incredible. Four goals. I think one of Japan's was like, okay, fine, it's let them score. What an unbelievably exciting, I mean, really, the first few minutes of the game, and then watching the end.
The first 16 minutes of the game.
And then the end when, oh, my gosh, it's really happening. And I remember watching the last time they won in 1999 also. So how exciting that, our men's teams have not done so well in World Cup play, but the women were just so exciting to watch. Did you watch it also?
Yes, we didn't watch it live. We watched it, we TiVo'd it, but we watched it that night. And I actually, this is what happens with social media. We were watching it, and we saw the first few goals, and I think the first four. And then because we were behind, I got a tweet on my, or an alert on my phone that they had won 5-2. But I didn't tell my husband, and my brother was over as well. I didn't say anything.
Oh, you're good.
But,
you are good.
Well, it was pretty obvious, especially the last 10 minutes.
Right. I don't think anybody thought there was going to be a comeback.
15 minutes, and that third goal that Carly Lloyd scored halfway down the field.
Yeah.
Holy crap! You never see that in soccer. And that is actually one of the things I watch with my son, because he is a soccer aficionado. You never see that. It was unbelievable.
I mean, can you imagine those muscles? The power to get that ball that far at that speed. I mean, I'm picturing when I would kick it. It would be a little trickle rolling down the field. I mean, their muscles are they're just so beautiful. We were in a restaurant for the end of the game, and it was one of they had TV monitors, I guess, probably all over the restaurant, actually, and people were cheering. It was, that community spirit. It was just great. I mean, it was just a lot of fun to have our women. And last in 99, my son was away at sleepaway camp, and I guess there was something going around. I don't know if it was strep throat or what it was. He didn't have strep. He was just a little bit mildly sick. And because he was fairly local, they had him come home for a couple of days just to free up some space in the infirmary. It was really reserved for those who were really sick. So he was home, and we got a moment that we were watch the finals together. Well, I probably would not have been watching had he not been home from camp. So a moment spent, as my daughter would say, it's always about him. Yep.
Well,
16 years later.
And I think she didn't watch this game with him.
No. In fact, I was with her. Okay.
Anyway, it was just incredible to watch Carly Lloyd, Hope Solo. Oh, my God. Given all her personal issues that have happened over the past year, by the way, she is from Seattle. Chrissy Ramapo, who was the only one who was on the 1999 team.
Yeah.
And Amy Wambach. I mean, come on. And the most exciting thing, or one of the most exciting things was their first stop was here in Los Angeles at the Microsoft Center, which used to be the Nokia Center. And, there were about 10,000 fans that showed up. Actually, I wonder how many fans would have showed up if it was in Santa Monica. I was thinking about that. Did I? I actually toyed with the idea of driving down there. But
me too. There was a moment.
I want to go down there.
That was exactly. I mean, LA traffic, and I guess any big city. But I guess we're so big. The amount of it's a long way. And I same thing. I thought about it and thought that would be so cool. And I thought, it's spend half a day in a sense in traffic. It just I'll have to watch it on TV. So. Yeah, same thoughts, and it's a shame, but I guess big city, they come to a big city, and you got to deal with that. But I guess soccer, because they're you know, they're in, you know, knee pads and shorts. You know, as opposed to football, you don't see the players particularly. You know, they got all those helmets and padding, and you never can't really see a face. Whereas soccer, you do. You know, they just feel like you know them. They feel like your next door neighbors and kids. I keep wanting to say girls, but you know, we don't call the boys of summer. You know, we don't use that term. But to see
we
them,
use it for baseball though.
Right, but you know, generally we don't call them always a little sensitive to it. But see, it feels like you know them. And the World Cup, I mean, that's pretty exciting.
It's pretty awesome. A few more facts. Number one, there's going to be a ticker tape parade in Lower Manhattan on Friday morning. First female team ever. I guess the item to be discussed, which is something not to discuss now, but the fact is that for winning the World Cup, the women's team is going to get $2 million, which sounds like a nice amount of money. But when Germany won the 2014 men's final, they got $35 million. I mean, there's a lot of controversy. The women had to play on AstroTurf. The men play on real grass, and AstroTurf apparently is not kind on the body or sore, so there's a lot of conversation, and with probably changes in FIFA, it's going to be ongoing. But congratulations, USA Women's. What an incredible thing to happen, especially on July 4th weekend.
July 4th, that was so, as they wrap themselves in the flag, and any time during Olympics or any kind of world competition, it is very cool when the athletes, they are there representing their country. But the fact that this was July 4th weekend, it was July 5th, was right there, and the flags are out, and every picture you saw of every friend, everybody is wearing some red, white, and blue. It was extra cool. And I thought, wow, boy, that timing was pretty, obviously everything just coincidental, but how great is that? And to be, they were in North America, so close in a sense, it just added that spectacular piece to it.
And it was nice be able to at least celebrate them here first, but, we discussed this before, a lot of the players and I believe the coach have L.A. roots. But it was July 4th weekend, so as we celebrate the USA winning the World Cup, we also celebrate the birthday of our country, and we do it in traditional fashions here. We, there are barbecues, there's fireworks, and for us, I think we didn't go last year, but this year we went to the Hollywood Bowl, which is kind of the most, to me, as a New Yorker who moved here, it is such an iconic symbol of L.A. and when it's just such a unique venue, this outdoor amphitheater with this incredible stage, incredible sound, and on July 4th, unbelievable fireworks set to music conducted by Sarah Hicks of the L.A. Philharmonic, and wow.
And this year they brought in Smokey Robinson, 75 years old, and still an entertainer, still sings, still moves, still does a concert. To have sort of a iconic and important figure in American music, and juxtaposing with the John Philip Sousa marches, with Star Wars themes, with some big Philharmonic pieces, and the fireworks, and this conductor, as you say, Sarah Hicks, female, a lot of pizzazz, a lot of personality, wears these monster high heels while she's conducting. I couldn't walk across the stage, much less have all that conducting going on, all that body movement. But what a fun concert. And
did you know the songs he did? Being With You, Cruising, which was one of the sexiest versions of Cruising I've ever heard. Tracks of My Tears, You've Really Got a Hold on Me, Tears of the Clown. Wow, what a career he's had. My only thing is, his face is hard to, doesn't move so much, but his body did. I mean, he definitely didn't look like a 75-year-old. And it was a joy. And what was particularly joyful, not only to be there with you and Bill, but, one box over was people that Lenny knows who are from New York who actually were at the bowl for the first time to see their faces as they experienced the fireworks and the music.
Loved.
And the whole ambiance of the bowl was almost as much fun as experiencing it.
I agree. I, you know, not even knowing them, but knowing that that was the first time there, I got a kick out of that. Their children, them. Oh my God! You know, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm at the Hollywood Bowl. I'm sitting outside. I'm not dripping with, you know, with humidity. I'm listening to this music. There's, you know, Smokey Robinson. There's all these people. There's, you know, movie stars in the audience. There's what a cool. It's like being near Disneyland with a kid for the first time, or the first time they can appreciate it. That was a really neat element to it as well. Yeah, absolutely. And what a great holiday weekend for, you know, for them. Yeah. And it was funny. It was a long weekend. The holiday being on Saturday, so many people took off. Friday was a funny day. What's open? What's closed? What, you know, is there mail? Is there banking? I don't know. I'm all, you know, all confused. It was a funny day, but I think everybody was so confused on what day it was, you know, because it was such a long weekend. And we started Thursday. We saw the concert ran, you know, the second, third, and fourth. So it really started off, which that's okay. You know, Friday felt like Saturday, and that's not a bad thing.
No, but it was a little off-putting. Like Julia Cunningham said, you know, the timing, what day is it? I remember during the weekend thinking, okay, is this Saturday? Is this Sunday? It feels like this. It feels like that. But what an incredible weekend. And then how did you celebrate the 4th itself?
With food, the other F. Family,
other F?
Friends, fireworks, football, FIFA, food. Yes. We were a couple of different, you know, barbecues, and that works, you know, old friends, just all, you know, all a lot of fun catching up with people, seeing people, you know, sharing. So yes, food worked, although we did not see any other fireworks. We could hear them quite a bit. I could hear them, you know, from in my own house. Couldn't see anything, but you actually saw another fireworks show.
I did. There was actually for years we've gone to this location, but we've been on the outside looking in. And this year we were actually at El Cab Country Club with some friends, and we got to see it from the inside. And it was an incredible fireworks show. They really put a lot into it. But you know what? When you see it at the bowl, and you know, John Philip Sousa, the music is timed to the fireworks. It's different. It's very different. But you know what? There is something about fireworks where, you know, you don't mind cricking your neck and hurting yourself and being in the dark and stepping over people to get back to a car, because there is something very infectious about it and a lot of fun in it, and it symbolizes a holiday.
That ooh and ah, you absolutely, you know, and everybody's kind of doing this ooh, ah.
Yeah. And, of course, we had a kid right behind us who was, you know, doing a commentary. I mean, you know, we wanted to go over there and slap the kid, but, you know, we didn't. No child abuse, don't worry. But anyway, it was fun. The food was great, and we enjoyed it. So happy 4th of July to everyone, a little later, but still, nevertheless, a wonderful holiday and a wonderful, you know, a wonderful birthday celebration for the United States. For all its, you know, ins and outs, it's the greatest country in the world.
Yeah,
that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
And it is one of those holidays, I guess, like a Thanksgiving, that, you know, everyone loves. There's just, you know, say the food, the friends, family. There's not the gift giving, which, you know, at the, you know, Christmas time, that everybody's got all, you know, there's rules and there's crazy making time, and this, there isn't. Everyone, just whether it's the, you know, the small town parades and the wagons, you know, or, you know, the big, you know, big productions, doesn't matter. It's still, you know, it's just a lot of fun that way. Don't know. I haven't talked to my son, who is in, you know, bar hell, studying for their bar jail. I'm not sure. Maybe a little bit of studying for the bar exam the end of the month. So haven't really seen hide nor hair. I know he was using
the weekend that figure the roommates were out more to, you know, get some more work done without running to the library. And a Friday night I was at a barbecue where a number of his friends were. In fact, one of his roommates was there. So I tried to get some stuff out of the roommate. You know, is he studying? What's he doing? He gave me he told me what I wanted to know, which I don't know how genuine, but I know he, like I say, just have not seen the kid. But I guess that's it'll be over. No.
It'll be over soon. Speaking of what's not over soon, when we went on the air, we had heard that there was a computer glitch on United Airlines that had been fixed. But meanwhile, you know, air traffic was delayed. So if you have tickets on United today, you better check your flight departure. But, you know, also, and it kind of seems creepy, there was a halt to trading on the New York Stock Exchange because of a quote-unquote computer glitch. So, you know, you kind of go, what's going on out there?
Absolutely. First thought, unfortunately, you know, is this a terrorist thing? You're talking United Airlines, you're talking, you know, the stock exchange. These are really big things, you know, and the vulnerability, you know, or is it, you know, and these are the things I don't know what makes me, where do I breathe a sigh of relief or where do I get more anxious? Are we talking, you know, glitches in computer systems? Well, you know, what can happen, you know, with that? I mean, the stock market, they were referencing 1987, October, when the market took that big dive. Was that your son's birthday? Or the day before, I think.
I think it was the day before his birthday.
Yeah, the 19th of October. Yeah, I have another friend who that was the year. That was 87. Never mind.
Okay. Actually, if it was 87, my son was, you know,
right.
Not even in our mind yet.
He was a wasn't.
So, actually,
yes,
he probably was in my mind, but that's a whole other story, which we don't need to discuss on the air.
But the idea of a stock market of a sudden drop like that is so
scary.
So scary.
It's scary, especially with what's going on in Greece, which has been kind of hard to watch for us personally, having been in Greece last year and, you know, met the Greek people and knowing how tough the economic situation has been for them and how grateful they were for tourism and, you know, a lot of American money coming in, and people were incredibly gracious and the food was terrific. And, you know, I hope that they get their, you know, what together and are able to get through this crisis, because it really is an incredible country and with lots going on. Well, our time is running down, and I know this is a big weekend for you. You've been talking about it for a while. You've got a big reunion coming up on Saturday.
Yep. 40th high school reunion. You know, like everybody, you'd say, wait a second, I'm 26 years old. I'm 36. How can I possibly be, you know, more than 56? It's an amazing idea. I'm excited. I can't, you know, well, we'll talk about it next week. I look at some of the lists and I think, I don't even know who half these people, I've never even heard of them, but I'm sure there'll be old faces, is that the word? You know, faces that I knew long ago.
And there'll probably be a lot of new faces, too, given it's in Southern California.
Right. That'll be, and I have dropped some of my intent. I was going for the spray tan to try to get, you know, some muscle definition, some contour, some stuff, but I've decided to be real and not doing it. I'm going in
And given you're going to look in the mirror and say, who the hell is that person? Well, you've got that coming up this weekend. I've actually got a wedding, and my daughter and her husband are coming down, so we're really, really psyched about that.
That's nice.
So as we wind down, we want to thank EW Radio's Julia Cunningham for spending some time with us earlier in the show and talking about Comic-Con and movies and cultural references and movies and Love and Mercy. See Love and Mercy. Anyway, Claudia, have fun Saturday.
Thank you. Full recap next week.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Empty Nesters Radio Show. Andrew, let's take us home.
Me and my friends, we had our own cute family. Started when they were babies, when all they did was scream. But now they're much too old, and now it's time to fly the coop. Me and all my friends, we got a team. children had finally broke out of their shell. In the end, we can really be the best. In the end, we can finally get some rest. In the end, we can maybe have some sex. In the end, could